11 minutes of just going through everything from chapter to chapter in the Bible, just the names of Jesus. I don't know how many are there. Hey? And that's who we come to celebrate. That's who we believe in. It's a profound and powerful thought. So I know the connection cards are, I don't know who's filled them in, but I want to just start talking and preaching. Maybe I get my Bible. So if you want to, who's filled out the connection cards already? Everyone? No one? Who hasn't? Okay, well, you guys can fill them in while I'm talking. How's that sound? So I want to, not too loud, Josh, this sounds very loud, my friend. Unless it's supposed to be like that. So that is just a profound thing. I love that video. He is a bright and morning star. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Judge, the Ruler. It goes on and on and on. How amazing. So when he speaks, you know the who's got a Bible with Jesus' words in red? Written red, yeah. You know that the whole Bible should be in red. Because it's all the word of Jesus. Amen? Anyway, but you understand. It's just him speaking there. But really, this is him speaking throughout the entire Bible. That we have the word of God in our hands. Amazing at this equipped time that we had at Glenridge, where Moy gets up. She's a Zulu woman. And she went through some tough things as a child with her mother. And how the Holy Spirit would speak to her. And then the one day when she got older, the Holy Spirit said to her, get a Bible. I'm going to start talking through the Bible, through the Word. Because he would speak to her, and she would hear him in her head. And then he said to her, and she was old enough, get your hands on a Bible. I'm going to start talking to you through the Word of God. Amen? And so when we sit here this evening, friends, and we look at that, and we go, come on, let's not play church. Jesus is not, what's the word I want to use? Playing games. Amen? He's full of joy and full of laughter, but this is serious stuff. And I know someone once said joy is the serious business of heaven. I understand that. But sometimes you've got to look at what God is calling us to do. Say, Lord, here I am, send me. No matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like, here I am. And our prayer as a leadership, Dawn and I, as a couple leading the church, having planted many, many years ago, I've always gone, Lord, we don't want to just be another church on the bluff, just eking out a little existence in our little portion of south end of Durban. It's like, Lord, we want to be what you've called us to be. Amen? And Satan comes, who do you think you are? I don't know. I'm a son of God, just trying to be obedient. Amen? As a matter of fact, Jesus was the obedient one. And so we just got to follow in his footsteps. And if he's called to sacrifice, he called himself to sacrifice. Jesus, the Father, called him to sacrifice. Then whatever we do is going to be for him. Whatever we lay down is for him and his kingdom. Amen? All right, so the Lord's been speaking to me, or us, I guess, as a leadership, about some stuff. And as you can see, encountering God, making disciples, we changed that a few months ago because we just felt that the Lord is kind of turning the ship, so to speak, of Grace Life, where instead of being encounter God, find community, fulfill destiny, all about me, we felt the Father say, it's time you start to look outward, Craig. You know, like a 16-year-old suddenly becomes aware of the world around them. If it's a boy, he starts to become aware of girls. If it's a girl, aware of boys. And next minute, there's a big world. It's not just me in my room. And I felt the Lord say, actually, you've come of age at 16 years old, which happened in May, and it's time to start looking outwards. There's a big world out there. Amen? And he hasn't just called us to impact our own lives and our own family as we sit around the dinner table, but to impact the community of the Bluff and Durban itself and beyond. Who's with me? But it's not going to take small-minded people or shallow people or people whose feathers get ruffled easily. Amen? I want to tell you now, if your feathers get ruffled, then the Lord's going to allow your feathers to be ruffled a lot more. Amen. Whatever the giant is that we have to face, the Lord will not remove that giant away without faith. That giant has to fall by faith. And if it doesn't fall, and we try and go around it, the Lord will always make sure that giant comes back into our path again, because he wants us to kill it. Because any giant that I don't kill, the generations behind me have to come and kill. They've got their own giants already coming up. Amen? I want to tell you, at the end of the day, whatever comes our way, we need to take with the power of God, like the mighty men of David, and know that we can have victory. Amen? But it's going to take all of us together, standing with each other, maturity. And as we talk about that, I'm going to dive straight in here. Matthew 24, there's no points, just a lot of scripture, but try and track with me. I want to go somewhere, hopefully at the end of it, we won't be confused. We will be quite clear where the Lord's trying to take us. Shall we do that? All right, Matthew 24, 14. Well, let me say this. I should have read the first one. Actually, hold on a second. And this gospel, okay, of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony of all nations, and then the end will come. Say then, the end will come. So this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. So this gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. What end? The end of the world as we know it. And REM won't be singing that day. So, did you know that we can speed up the day of coming, the day of the Lord? Did you know that? Who knows that? Okay, six of you. So let me prove it to you. 2 Peter 3 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, or like a thief rather. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Now, that there, speed, in the Greek is the word speed. It's the word hasten, to make quickly. So Peter tells us here that actually there's a specific way that we can be. Now, if you read that holy and godly lives, okay, I'll be holy, okay, means I'm going to go to church once on a Sunday and just be like Jesus. Don't swear, don't watch pornography, don't get too drunk. Now I'm holy. No, Peter is trying to reference a specific way of living. Because to live a godly life, Jesus didn't come to live a godly life. He was God and he lived life. We are not to try and live godly lives. We are to be sons of God. Amen? And in being sons of God, the fruit of that manifestation will be godly lives. And the godly life will show and do something in our lives and around us that will do that will speed up the day of Jesus. Which is what? Which is this. It says, the kingdom will be preached into all the world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. And we know that all nations haven't heard the gospel. So really, the Lord says to the local churches all around the world, you can speed up the coming of Jesus. You can speed up the coming. That day, you can speed it up, but you have to get the gospel into all the world. And then we go, yes, that's obviously for the evangelists, the guys that go out there and they go into Sudan and all these other places, Iraq, and they are those guys. And I just stay at home and I watch Netflix and go to church on a Sunday. And the Lord says, no, that's not going to speed its coming. We speed its coming by living lives like Jesus. Amen? So, listen to this, Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Who's got that? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Who must go? Who must go to and make disciples of all nations? Who must do that? Who is he speaking to here? The believers. So he's saying, go into all the nations and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Go and make disciples of all nations. So what's happened is in the 1500s or even 300 AD, we know that some things came and Satan's brought some things into the church that was unhelpful and ungodly. And what happened, there was a split in the clergy laity, a split, whereas the priests would do all the stuff, that's why it's called the Dark Ages, and the laity would just sit and watch. But that is a demonic system, friends. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God here, he says, therefore go. When you read it, Taslin, Jesus says to you, go. When you read it, Faye, he says, go. Alex, he says, go. Craig, he says, go. Tony, when you read it, he says, go. Every one of us, go. Or Craig, so how, what does that mean? I must give up my job. And no, well, it starts right where you are. But the mindset has to be a going mindset. And so the Lord is calling us in this day and age to break the religious mindset of it's you are the gurus, you go do the job, we will just come and sit and listen and drink our coffee and fill in our connection card and we'll see you next Sunday. So that God wants to break that mindset, because at the end of the day, that mindset will never speed up the coming of Jesus. And the gospel will not go into all the nations because the church is too comfortable watching her Netflix on a Sunday afternoon and taking her kids to sports on a Saturday morning. Amen. I was saying this to my daughter the other day. I said, you see the clock, Jazz? We're talking. I said, see, it says 12. It was all around. Paul makes out like we're on the last 60 seconds of the clock winding down. We're on the last of the last days. And so many believers are so busy trying to amass their wealth and amass their money and amass their comfort and amass, because in their minds they go, I just tick off a box, I'm a Christian, going to heaven, great, so I go to church on a Sunday, but I live my life the rest of the day, as long as I don't swear, don't watch pornography, don't get too drunk, and I try and be as nice and just, you know, give a bit of cash here and there, then whoo, God's happy with me, and everyone's just going to okay, sarah, sarah, and be happy about that. And the Father says, actually, I've called you to a completely different life. Go make disciples, Craig. Go make disciples, John. Go make disciples, Andrew. Go make disciples. How? Go get plugged into a local church and start there. Start there. What has to come? Maturity. Amen? Multiplication is only born through maturity. Did you know that? So what happens is God calls us to multiply. He says, go and make disciples. So when I'm making a disciple, I am taking me, what I've got, the revelation in my mind, and I'm teaching it to someone who's taking that same revelation and teaching it to someone else. And down the line we go. Why? Because that tree, that thing becomes, it splits out into 1 to 2, then 2 to 4, then 8, then exponential multiplication. But for the most part, the church, we don't get that. We just go, well, it's the guys up front, those are the main guys. They do all the stuff and we sit and just watch. But we will never speed up the coming of Jesus with that mindset, never. Matter of fact, you'll just be a little church that just keeps going round and round in circles. And the Lord will eventually say, oh, I'm going to have to remove my lamp from that place. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Just means your influence just dies and dies and dies until it's 20 of you on a Sunday morning staring at the preacher. Amen? That's it. No one else. He wants us to display and show who he is through us into other people. And if we don't understand this, friends, the problem is, as I say, we just keep going round and round in circles thinking, what's next? What's next? And you know, he's put inside of us, every one of us, he wants us to add value and he wants us to be a part of what he wants to do on the planet. So when Peter says we can speed its coming, the only way that happens is we all rise up and begin to do what he's called us to do. Amen? And sometimes it is so difficult. You think about the church as a leader. It's like you feel you've got to stir people and come on, guys. Really, it's because people just don't have a revelation of who Jesus is. They don't have a revelation of that. And any sacrifice is just too difficult. Anything is just too difficult, Craig. Yeah, I'm busy. I'm busy, Craig. I had a busy life. But the more we focus on what Jesus calls us to do, the more he opens doors for us, the more our influence grows, the faster and faster people see who Jesus is, and the faster they become mature. The faster they become mature, the more the gospel goes out. The more the gospel goes out, the faster churches are planted. The faster churches are planted, the faster the world is evangelized. The faster the nations see Jesus, the faster Jesus comes back. Amen. Come on now. 20 years ago, I came back to the Lord in 23 years, came back to Jesus. I wonder where some of the guys are that joined me when I first started. Where are they today? I know some guys that joined with me in my life group, in the first life group I was in, they're not even serving God anymore. And they're not counting for God. Some guys are in churches, they're not doing anything, got their jobs, they're doing very well, making money. What happened? Where did they go wrong? You know what happened, friends? They lost the revelation of who Jesus is and what he's called us to do. And they've been sucked in. I pray for my kids. Maybe you can make it a little bit louder, please, Josh. Just a tiny bit, so I don't have to force my voice. I pray for my children all the time, and I say this. I thank you, Lord, that they're going to see you for who you are. And I come against the spirit of this world that seeks to blind their minds and wrap itself around them like a snake, to pull them off course and to go down a road they shouldn't be going down. You see, I posted something on Facebook the other day about influence. The Lord only wants to increase your influence. That's why I want to tell you, friends, rejection. We have to learn to overcome rejection. As a church, as people, because rejection is a destiny killer. Rejection will kill your destiny. It'll kill your calling faster than anything else will, because rejection makes me go into a little hole and go, woe is me, I'm a victim of you. And so therefore, I'm going to withdraw and I'm going to punish you because you've hurt me and because I know I'm going to. But really what you're doing is you're killing your own destiny. You're killing your own calling. So the Lord wants to increase your influence. Satan wants to kill it. The devil wants to kill your influence. The devil wants to kill the influence of grace life. Amen? He wants to kill your influence. If he can't kill you, he'll kill your influence. And he'll use your immaturity against you. Your gullibility. See, when I'm immature, I'm gullible. Come grab a, it's like a guy filming in the back of a panel van that's empty. And he goes, "Ooh, I'm eating chocolates, you aren't." It's like, yeah, you've been kidnapped, bud. See, naivety, when I'm naive, I'm very gullible. And I'll swallow anything, hook, line, and sinker. Amen? And so what he wants is, he wants us to become mature so that we can stand against the devil's schemes, that we can discern what is good and evil, and that we can walk out the promise and the plan and the destiny of the Lord in our lives. So the writer of Hebrews says, by now you ought to be teachers. By now you ought to be a teacher, but someone has to come and teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. 30 years down the line, you should be making disciples, changing the world. But someone has to come and teach you how actually to be a mature believer, because you're still a baby. Amen? Rejection will kill your destiny faster than anything else. Why? Because Jesus had to overcome rejection. If you think about it, he was born of a woman who did not have a husband. So really, he was a bastard child. So he would have grown up in his village as Jesus, the bastard child of a woman called Mary, who should have been stoned before he was born. So now you got this kid running around like, hey, we all know who you are. He would have felt that rejection from a young age. Then we know right into adulthood, he says, he came to those who were his and they rejected him. And then on the cross, they're still the same ones. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Amen? Getting overlooked on some stuff. God will allow that to happen, especially if that's a niggle in your heart. He will let it happen all the time because he wants you to overcome it. I've seen people, the Lord keeps allowing it to happen over and over, and they eventually just bomb out and they leave. And like, you never killed that giant. Amen? Remember the names of God. Remember the revelation of who Jesus is. No man can reject you. God's timing is perfect. Just be faithful, do what he's called you to do, and trust his timing. Amen? No man can reject you. No woman can reject you. They can do things that might feel like that, but that's okay. Your walk is with Jesus. You just keep smiling. I remember when I got that phone call, as I've said this many times, I'm on the worship team. I'm a full-time elder. I was an eldership on leading, heading up the worship, very, very busy. Full-time marketplace elder, but overseeing all the worship. So, and we had a baby, Dawn and I, before my son was born. And it was hard. It was a lot of work. Come Sunday morning, Sunday night, leading pack, it was the other hall on the other side, pack all the gear away. Here's this couple, Daniel and Julie, brought onto eldership after us. Very quick, I came onto eldership from another church. And one day I get a phone call and the leader says, his name was Mark, and he says, "Hey, Craig, I've spoken to the NCMI team guys, and we're bringing Daniel and Julie on full-time into the church, full-time, on staff with us." And of course, my heart sank. I'm like, "Jeez, bro, he doesn't lead worship. Sunday night, we have a meeting. He stands there. I'm doing all the work. I pack everything away. Monday morning, I'm back to Gravitech, back to my job, and he just has the day off. Jeez, Lord, that's unfair. I'm working so much harder than this guy." But you know what I felt God say? A boo-hoo. There's a tissue for your issue, Craig. Trust my timing, son. Amen? And so, I couldn't just say, "Great, Mark," and every time I see Daniel, I'm... I just had to keep my heart clean. Clean, just clean. Smart, and just keep being faithful. Why? Because Daniel and Mark didn't call me into the kingdom. Jesus did. And he will not disappoint me. I've got to trust his timing. Even if the leadership make a mistake and overlook you, know that you were supposed to be, it's okay. God knows he'll bring it around again. Amen. Sometimes he allows things to happen because there's a niggle there and he wants to get rid of that. You cannot take rejection into the promised land, my friends. That has to stay behind. That has to stay behind in the desert, just like those other people that stayed behind in the desert and only the children went through. They didn't have the Egyptian mindset. Well, that stuff stays behind. The Father will not allow you to go into the promised land if that stuff is still in your heart. Amen. And he will keep bringing it around and around and around and around until you've dealt with it. If you feel rejected, your trust is still too much in people. Amen. It's not you can't reject me. I'm a son of God. Oh, you still lost the plot there. Amen. We love and we honor and we smile and we continue to be faithful. Amen. But that takes maturity. So what's the point? It's maturity. It's to be mature, sons of God. Ephesians 4. 11. So Jesus himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip God's people for works of service. Say equip God's people. Alrighty. Here's the question. When you go to the army, okay, I don't know if you've been to the army. I went to the army for 1 year. I'm a veteran. Jeez, bro. I don't have to laugh like that. And, no, you see, I lost my train of thought because you're laughing. Ryan, can you throw me some water there, please? That one there. Huh? When we? How's it taste, Ryan? what is I saying? Why? Why did I say that? Equip. You said that? So when I went to the army, what they did, okay, they you got equipped after a whole lot of time there, but you know, you get your overalls, you get your boss suit, you get your gun, you get your other stuff, you get this, you get that, you get this and that. But everything is designed, all the equipment they give you is and the training is designed for a specific purpose. Now, by then, the bush war was over, but still, it was you had now urban warfare, so they're trying to train you to do urban warfare. But the point is, you weren't equipped for nothing because you're there to do a job. You're there for a reason. In the Bible, I mean, rather in the church, we're not equipped for nothing. We're here for a reason. We're on a mission. As a matter of fact, Peter tells us that we are aliens, sojourners through this world. Who's an alien here? Now you got a long neck. And we are sojourners. We are passing through in the tent of this body. Some Christians make this the church, make this earth everything. Amen. They've fallen for the spirit of this world that's entrapped them. Now we're not talking cultist stuff here. We can all live in the mountain and drink Kool-Aid. We're talking about the church of the living God that is in the world but not of the world. She's a witness, like the moon is to the sun at night. She displays the glory of Jesus. Amen? But first, she must do it in here. Who's with me? Why? Because that's what the Lord's called us to do. So when you get equipped, you're equipped for a reason. I am equipped for a reason. We are given all the equipment for a reason. There's a reason why you have that stuff, so that you can affect this world through where God takes you. Because you need equipping. For works of service. So he starts to clarify now what the equipping is for. It's for works of service. If you've been at Grace Life for 3 months, 4 months, 5, and you're still not serving, you're missing the point of the gospel. Because you've been equipped for works of service. Yeah, but Craig, that's service out there on the wall. I beg to differ. It's a both and. Because Paul tells us the giftings we have is there to build up the body of Christ. Amen? Someone said this the other day. They said, I don't go to church. I just study the Bible. And then someone else wrote there, if you study the Bible, then that's a clear indication that you don't study the Bible. Because if you study the Bible, you don't understand there's a lot more in you than just about going to heaven. It's about what you do while you're still on earth. Amen. We are God's workmanship. God has called us as a body to display something. I'll read it just now. But the point is we are equipped for works of service. Where does it start? It starts right where you are. Hey, serving spots available. It starts there. It starts, what can I do to help serve here in this body so that we can make it as beautiful as we can? Of course, using my talents and my giftings as well as my spirituality to affect and infect and affect everybody here for the glory of God so that we can all become mature. Amen? The more people you have that come in on a Sunday, stare at the preacher, have coffee and leave and come back next Sunday, the worse and worse it gets. No one goes into maturity. The gospel doesn't go through all the world and Jesus does not come back. Amen? Who's with me? Now, there's nothing wrong with having coffee at the back. But at the end of the day, it's more than that. Maturity, say this to your neighbor. Maturity. Some of your neighbors you left at home, I know that. Okay. Maturity is the goal. Maturity is the goal. That's it. Maturity is the goal. Because the more you are maturing, the more you hear God. The more you hear God, the more you affect this world. The more mature you become, the more mature you make others. 3.5 million orphans in South Africa. No fathers. No one to help them mature and teach them to be fathers. So prisons in South Africa and around the world are dominated mostly by men without fathers. Because they never had a father to teach them how to be a father. Amen? And so now they're victims of their own insecurities and lusts and greed and violence and hate. So we need fathers in the church to raise fathers. If we have lots of immature people, no one gets raised to anything. We all stay immature. Amen? Who's with me? To equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Ooh, look at that. That's not up there. I've got that scripture there, Amanda. Where's those scriptures there? Ephesians 4:11. Okay. Look at that. To equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Who? The leaders here? No. The body of Christ may be built up. One day, all the leaders are going to sit at the back. So the body of Christ may be built up. This is the key, my friends, to speeding up the coming of Jesus, is to build up the body of Christ. When people walk through the door, they coming through your sweaty palms, nervous, they walk in here, and then we make them feel at home. I want to encourage you, when you come in here, don't just come and grab a seat and sit and stare. I'm not waiting for movies to start. Where's the popcorn? Switch the lights off, let's watch the movie. No, we have to love on each other. Amen? We have to love on each other, but you've got to get off your blessed assurance if you're going to love on someone. Put your Bible down and go and have coffee and, hey, how's it? Hey, where are you from? You're first time, no, 10th. Oh, okay, no worries. Happens to me. What's your name again? I told you 10 times. It's okay, love is a name and I want to know yours. Amen. Now, please, Craig's watching me. I'm sitting in the seat. I'm not going to say anything to you. I might ask you, waiting for a movie here. But at the end of the day, friends, we got to use what we have to impact. And we can use our hands and our eyes and our mouth and our feet and be Jesus. Mature people. So you come, people come, hey, how's it, where are you from? And immediately make them feel at home. And when they leave Grace Life, they've got the warm and fuzzies. See, if there's no parking, it's the cold and sparkies. They can't sit because we've taken up all the good ones, cold and sparkies. So what happens is when you come on a Sunday for the first time, we want you to feel the warm and fuzzies. First 7 minutes. I spoke about the car park and the seating. The first 7 minutes, people have decided they're coming back. We want many, many more people on a Sunday. Why? So that they can hear the gospel and impact this world with the nation, with the God. Not just to fill up seats, friends. We want to become mature. Amen. And you might find an easier church on the bluff where you don't get, there's not such responsibility, there's not such call for work. But at the end of the day, we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't do this stuff. God's called us to admonish and to spur on and to help grow love in the church so that we can be who he's called us to be and impact this world with the gospel and see Jesus come back in our lifetime. Amen. Many, many warnings of Paul about going backwards. Why? Because it actually impacts the church in a negative way. Because your voice is very important. Your smile is very important. This place should be full tonight. Full, right to the back there. If people couldn't make it because they had something going on, they couldn't get out of it, well, another story. But if you can't make it because you just, it's a Tuesday night. I don't go to church on a Tuesday night. No, we're not coming to church. Please, I want to change this language too. We don't have Sunday school. It's kids ministry. No child wants to go to school on a Sunday. So we come here because we want to impact and add momentum to what God is doing. Amen? I want to add momentum. I'm going there to add momentum. When I go, I'm adding my voice to what's going on. I want to speak. Satan wants me to keep quiet. I want to increase my influence. Amen? Listen to this. Let's keep reading. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Say, become mature. So maturity is the goal. To equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Jesus. That is profound. Attaining to the whole measure. Oh, Craig, it's never going to happen. Not if you don't think so. But I want to be doff enough to believe the Bible. And know that, hey, God, surely we can have that in our lifetime. Why not? This has been written for 2,000 years. It's been here. 2,000 years, that same scripture. Why can't we have it in our lifetime? The next generation, very important. Your voice matters. Your hands and feet matter. God is equipping you for works of service. If you're part of this community, then this community is where you start your works of service. because you've got to start somewhere. You've got to start growing. The body of Christ is here to help us become mature. Amen? Every one of us growing into maturity. My son, as long as I feed him every day, lots of food, keep him healthy, as long as he stays intact, he will mature in his body. Amen? Likewise with you and I, we stay healthy by doing what? By feeding on the Word of God. Pressing into everything that the Lord has in that local church for you. When I joined Gainridge in 99, I didn't miss a thing. I didn't miss any meetings. When the elders call, because the elders are calling meeting, when the elders call something, the saint was there. Whatever you're saying, I'm here to back you up. The elders called meeting, we were prayer meeting. I'm there, you know I'm there. We got refuel, I'm there, you know I'm there. I'm there to help, what can I do here? Why? Because I want the elders to succeed. I want the church to do well. I want the Lord to be glorified by His people. Amen? Oh, Craig, this is the bluff, you know, hard place. I don't give a rip. Nothing's too hard for Jesus. Amen? Nothing's too hard for the Lord. We just got to have faith and believe. Some people look at Dawn, or look at Grace, they're like, we don't know what you guys did there. Or hey, did that. I don't know. Maybe just too stupid not to believe God. Like, actually, He can do something. Amen? We can impact this community, friends. They had 150 people in the upper room around about, and they turned the world upside down. We can turn this place upside down just with us in this room. But we got to believe this. We got to all hold to this revelation. Amen. Fullness, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. The waves are coming in different shapes, different forms. The waves come, waves of rejection, waves of disappointment, waves of being overlooked, waves of illness, waves of lockdowns. Amen? But we stand strong. Why? Because we mature, not infants. Infants are tossed backwards and forwards by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men. This, that, then it's that. And then, hey, we've got a Sunday night meeting. Oh, no, there's Apostle Johnson. He's down the road. But I'm going to see Apostle Johnson. Oh, okay. Because I'm tossed backwards and forwards by every good thing that comes up. No, whatever my family is doing, I'm joining that family. We're having a family dinner at home, myself, Dawn, and our two kids, and then those guys have a family next door, and they just say, we're going to go there. It's like, that's not very helpful. Amen? It's like, I'll come to Grace Life, but I tithe at the other church. Oh, great. Well, go to Wimpy, have dinner there, and then go pay Spur. See how Wimpy like it. Was that funny? Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth. You understand? He's juxtaposing infantilism to maturity. He's giving you two opposites here. Infants are tossed backwards and forwards. They're confused about everything. And everything and anything is yo. When I came back to the Lord, I keep saying that. I should try and find another phrase. In 99, I'd been at Glenridge about 4 months. I'm still kind of, you know, getting in there. But I've been back sin for many, many years. So I had something of the gospel in me. But when I came back to the Lord, I went, there was this, I lived on the beachfront, and I saw, that's not helping me there. It's not, I think it's coming from the door there, babe. Actually, I'm going to stand on the Word of God and keep preaching. And this guy, there was this conference happening on the beachfront, this church. So I went in there, and I said to our African leader, hey, let's bring all the guys to this during the week. It's Monday to Friday. And he was like, no. He was a Glenridge life group. He was a deacon. I said, hey, let's go to the beachfront and let's take the whole life group and go to the beachfront. And he's like, no, we're not going to do that. So I said, okay, I'm going to go. And I went to this thing. And it was 5 days. And at the end of the 5 days, I found out that it was a something else. It was Seventh-day Adventist, no? Mormon. No, Seventh-day Adventist. Seventh-day Adventist. So I argued with the guy a bit on this. But then they said, we need elders. We're going to plant a church of Seventh-day Adventists here. And we're going to need elders. Who wants to be an elder? I'm like, oh, I'll be an elder. And they said, come down. After they finished, they come out, oh, great. And we all kind of came to the bottom. And then everyone left and everyone went home. It was the end. It was an African-American guy. Bless him, Father. But it was quite strange. It'd be, and this, on the last day, he came with this like big robe on. He's dressed like this. And then the last day, he came with this like purple. And I'm like, yeah, that's interesting. And then every night, he'd be like, yeah, no. He'd like stop and look up. And they go, yes, Holy Spirit. I'd be like, all right, man. That's interesting. And then he said, like, with any elders, because we're going to plant this church, this Seventh-day Adventist. And then if you want to be there. And there was about 10 of us that all came down. And everyone, the meeting finished. And then the guy, his like sidekick, the main guy, probably in his like, I'd say 30s, is like, come, let's kneel together. And we just all hold arms like us. I mean, none of us, we didn't even know each other. But okay. It's like, oh, we're going to be elders. And it's going to be good. And then the guy walked the main guy walked down and said, look, Jonathan, can you just guys just pack the chairs away when you finish there? And then Jonathan promptly started complaining about this guy to all the people he doesn't know. And he always gets me to pack the chairs away. When was I pack the chairs away? I'm like, my God, bro. I was completely confused by this behavior. He was ripping this guy apart to people he didn't even know, who were all holding arms, who were all going to be elders. I'm like, yeah, I think I've got to get out of here. But the point is, friends, immaturity. So I went there. Ooh, you're elder. I'll be an elder. And thank God, I think it's like by the time I got to the end, I think the father's like, what are you doing here? But the thing is this, infants are tossed backwards and forwards by every wind of teaching and every carrot that's dangled. Amen? Instead, speaking the truth in love. Say speaking the truth in love. Friends, if someone speaks the truth in love to us, don't be rejected. Don't be disappointed. Take it and learn from it. Amen? See, most of us don't speak the truth in love to each other because we're political and we just want people to be happy with us. Speaking the truth in love can be quite challenging. Get thee behind me, Satan. Jeez, like. I thought Jesus was nicer than that. Instead, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head. That is Jesus. That is the destiny of the church, friends. To become mature, the mature body of Christ. Us in this room can make that happen. We can if we say, that's it, Lord. It's time to do this properly. Amen? No more playing church. Father, I want to become and grow into what you called me to become. Amen. Why? Because this is our destiny. Book of Revelation, you see the church coming down out of heaven onto the new earth. Beautiful structure, a cube in perfection. That's what John sees. And he's describing the body of Christ. It's the bride. As we sit in this room tonight, if you're online, God has called you and I to help make the bride perfect. Which means if you're going to help make the bride perfect, it means you've got to be doing something, not just sitting in the room staring at her. Amen. The bridesmaids, you don't have 10 bridesmaids, 8 of them sit and stare at the bridesmaid on the couch while they just watch and the other 2 are busy doing stuff. They're all attending to her. They're beautifying her. He has called us to beautify the bride of Christ. But it takes maturity. How do you get maturity? Discipleship. Amen? It takes maturity. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Every one of you here in this room is a supporting ligament. Did you know that? Did you know that? You are a supporting ligament if you are born again and you've called Grace Life your home. Then in this place, and I just presuppose it's all of us, you are a supporting ligament. When the ligament tears or gets hurt, it actually causes the whole body. I had a problem. My ankle was very sore. Someone prayed for it the other day at the equip time, and I I'm trusting for full healing. Amen. And talking about the equip time, that was a very important time marker for us in our calendar as in our togetherness as a church. A lot of people missing. I don't want to ask them where they were. It's like if you missed that just because you didn't feel like going, you're missing the point of what we're doing. Amen. We're there together to hear God's word together. What is the Lord saying through the apostolic fathers that we have in NCMR? What are you saying that was profound, profound stuff? You can ask Ryan, ask some of the guys that were there. Profound. Nah, couldn't be bothered. Nah, no, Saturday morning, I've got to go do shopping. Amen? And then when you get to heaven one day, you're going to realize, yes, I wish I did less shopping and more listening to the word of God. Amen? Anyway, I'll leave that with you. Next year is going to be different. Amen? Well, Jess thinks so. Instead, okay, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Grows and builds itself up in love. Interestingly, it doesn't say the leaders come to force you. It says you grow up yourself in love. But there's an equipping that the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists have to do. Equipping. There's a spurring. There's an admonition. There's equipping. You have to be equipped. And those leaders that are equipping you have to have gone through the same rigorous training but come out on the other end like Marines. Amen? Be careful of people that, but in actual fact, they've got no track record whatsoever. They're just mouth. Immaturity. Mature people don't have to say much. Amen? As each part does its work, friends, every one of us is called to works of service. We're called to build each other up. Love on each other. If we see Jesus for who he is, we're going to understand, Lord, you are the head. We are the body. We walk this out because you've called us. We've only got one life, my friends. One life. God's going to allow giants to come across. Why? Because the giant is always going to stand in the way and is going to take faith to overcome. But if I have more faith in myself or more faith in this world, my faith's going to be very weak and the giant's going to stop me every time. Every time. Matter of fact, in the book of somewhere versus something, hey Grant, Goliath stands up and taunts the Israelites for 40 days. This 9 feet tall. That's massive. Who's not going to be scared to fight that guy? You can be Bucky's butter. You not stand a chance. Not the best UFC heavyweight champion in the world will stand a chance against a 9-foot person who's a champion because he's just so strong. There's nothing you'll be able to do to stop that person from killing you. Nothing. And he's got a spear, and he's got a 9 feet tall. That's as tall as a container. That is massive. It's 3 meters. 3 meters tall. Taller than, 1 meter taller than Bucky's. And the Bible says he was a champion of a man. Taunted the Israelites for 40 days. And all the Israelite army were so afraid. And what happens? David comes with a slingshot. I've killed the lion and I've killed the bear. In the backwaters where no one's seen. Faithful where no one's seen. Don't worry, God sees all the stuff you do in quiet. Faithful, he's been practicing, killing the lion and the bear for his father who didn't even like him. He's out there. He has all my sons. Don't worry about that oak. He's out there. He's a little scruff neck. Don't worry about him. He has all the men of the family. And Samuel says, no, bring that guy. And for that father who's probably rejected him, because you can clearly see that story, so clearly the father didn't like David too much. Didn't want to give him honor. And he still looked after his father's sheep with his own life, killing the lion and the bear. And he was ready to take out the Goliath. And he killed Goliath. Some Goliaths standing in your way, friends, can only come through faith by taking them out. Otherwise, you'd be like the other army who are just terrified and for 40 days will be shouting at you. Amen? Almost finished here. Another hour. Ephesians 3:10. Listen to this. His intent was that now, through the leaders, hold on, doesn't say that. His intent, that word intent is the intention of God. So God himself, not Craig and Dawn and the other elders and the leader, it's God himself. God himself, his intent was that now through us, through us. You see, I must become small, he must become big. I said this to someone the other day. He's got a, they're looking at a boyfriend, a girlfriend. They don't quite know. They're kind of trying to, and I said, just point her to Jesus. You become small, make Jesus big. She must become small. But you know what happens most of the time? Often in the church, no, I become Jesus and I make him, I make Jesus small, I become big. Every time I have a hissy fit, I become big and I make Jesus small. Every time I'm immature, I make Jesus small, I become big. Have you seen children? Doesn't take much to upset them. They're selfish, self-revolved, scream and shout in front of everyone. Why? Because they become big. Actually, Jesus says, you become small, make me big, Craig, and I will change the world through you. Amen? The manifold wisdom of God. So it was now through the church, all of us, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities, the demonic. They're taking the gospel into the ends of the world. Satan's going to try and stop us with everything he can. We, friends, will show the radical wisdom of God by lowering ourselves, making Jesus big, loving on each other, watching each other, protecting each other, prophesying, admonishing, speaking love, growing up in everything that is Christ. And we will display the manifold wisdom of God to the Satan and his minions that the church can be what God has called it to be. Amen. And we can do that. We just got to believe. It's got to start with an encounter. It starts with an encounter, friends. You've got to know who Jesus is. He is the King of Kings. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He watches you day and night. He's equipping you. He's giving you everything you need for life and godliness. All you have to do is receive it. Amen? If you don't receive it, doesn't help you. You see that? That's the grace of God flying to Ryan. If you didn't catch it, it would have fallen and land on the floor. Your faith is the hands that receive the grace of God. We have to be in a posture of receiving in order to affect this world. And receiving is a posture of humility, which means I don't know everything. I come, I make myself small, I make you big, God, and you show me how to do this. Amen? How does it happen? Through discipleship. Everyone, someone said the other day, I thought it was brilliant. Everyone needs a Moses. Every Moses needs a Joshua, and every Joshua needs a Moses. Who is your Moses? Oh, Greg, you think you're Moses. No, I'm not saying that. The analogy is every person needs a discipler or mentor, and every person behind them needs to be mentoring and discipling someone. That's the way of the kingdom. Without that, we can't take the gospel to the ends of the world. Some people in this room should be discipling people and they're not. They should be leading and they're not. Maybe they're too wrapped up in their own world to give way to the gospel. Amen? Let's change that. Let's be mature. Let's do the work of God. Hey, Craig, I'm in the parking lot. That's all I need to do. No, maybe not. It'll be a sad shame. 2-3 years later, you're still just in the parking lot. Every one of us has a destiny. Amen. Maybe that's where it starts. But we go and become everything God's called us to become. Some of us, maybe in this room, go to plant churches. Go to other countries and join churches there. And add wind and fire to their sails. Amen? But it starts here, friends. It starts by loving on people coming to the doors. It starts by joining into a small group. It starts by saying to the leaders, how can I do? What can I do to help? It starts by not backbiting and not being critical. Folded arms. Oh, I can do a better job. Well, if you could, then you would be doing it. Amen. Pray for the leaders. Pray for each other. Love on each other. Be mature. It only happens through discipleship. What did Jesus say? Go make disciples of all nations. Why? Because discipleship is what makes us mature. Amen? Can I have... No, wait, hold on. Just go back there one more, please. Did I finish that thing? No, I didn't. Woo, come on. Didn't finish that scripture. According to his eternal purpose, like I did. His eternal purpose is that you and I would show the manifold wisdom of God to the rulers and authorities. You were in God's eyes and in his heart before the foundation of the world. God's purpose was for you to be sitting in this room listening to Craig speak tonight. Amen. The other people are supposed to be here, they're being disobedient. Well done for your obedience. Amen. Okay, let's have that graphic, please, if you don't mind. We're coming to a close here. You can't even read that, neither can I. That's terrible. All right, well, that outer ring, you see the outer ring? That says community. What is the community? The community is the Bluff, or maybe beyond, Yellowwood Park, where people come. But right now, it's the out there, the community of God. The community of where we live. There on the outs, can you see that? It says, the community, I'll read this on the right, it says, a community person is committed to not attending church because they're not born again, or maybe backslidden. The community out there. The next circle is crowd. A person is committed to attending church at least once in a while. So community on the outside, then crowd. The next circle is congregation. A person is committed to a small group, maybe some of the things in the church. But that's about it. The next one is a committed. A committed person is committed to habits necessary for spiritual growth. Why? Because they want to become mature. Amen? And the last one, that center one, is core. A core person is committed to ministry. So when you're out in the parking lot, you're not just parking cars. You're ministering to people with your wonderful smile. Morning, 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 come here. Morning. I don't want to park there. Sorry. You have to. No, they're not. Zapper, we're getting one small ones for the guy, just for the rough people. No, I'm just kidding. I'll show you something. So this is my bag. Because every Bluff pastor must have a knife. You thought I was unarmed. Let me close it down. Oh, it's cut. Friends, I want to say this. God wants to increase our sphere of influence. Why? Because he loves us. And that's what he's determined. Satan wants to kill it. He wants to kill our sphere of influence. You see that green circle in the middle, that dot, the core, God wants that to be huge. He wants people to come from the community, through the crowd, through the congregation, past committed, and into the core. The core are those who are ministering. In other words, I don't just do something, I'm ministering through what I'm doing. When I'm on the band, I'm not singing. Oh, well, no one sings like that, I guess, but I'm ministering there. I'm ushering in the presence of God along with the rest of the band so that God can touch his people and they can encounter him. There's a ministry attached to what I'm doing. We are all called to minister, but the mature minister, when you're part of the core, your job is to minister. No matter where you are, you have the sight, I'm going to be ministering to people. Why? Because God's called me to help people encounter him. And the more I do that, the bigger the core gets. Jesus said, when we draw people to him, or rather, when we worship him, he'll draw people to him. The bigger the core gets, the more he pulls people out from the community into what we're doing. Amen. But it's going to take every one of us to increase that core. Where are you today? Whereabouts are you? Well, I guess you're not in the community because you're here. The crowd, congregation, committed, core. Where are you? Because you'll be somewhere. And we feel the Lord, as a leadership, is calling us as a leadership to design and put something together that's going to help people go from the congregation to the core. So I've got a preach coming up on the 20th of October called Discipleship Sunday. I'm going to speak a bit more about what I've got down here, a bit more in depth about some other things. And we want to put together a discipleship path that's going to help people go from there into the core. Amen? Amen? And it's going to help us serve in a better way. There's going to be, and we're going to start changing that there of making disciples is critical, friends, to us becoming who God's called us to become. Critical. Critical. Because that's the only way we multiply is when we disciple. Oh, Craig, it's on the leaders. No, all of us make disciples. But it starts by getting off your bum and greeting people at the door. You might not know them, but believe me, you impact them when you smile at them and shake their hand. Amen. It's just a gentle touch of the Holy Spirit on that person. I love you. Wow. Warm and fuzzies. Warm and fuzzies. Not because you want to make the name of Grace Life big, because you want Jesus to be big. Amen. We hold this loosely as a leadership. At the end of the day, God could move us on to another place. We never want to do this to anything. It's like open-handed. As long as you call me there, Lord, I'll stay. But one day when you call me out, then I'll go. And then all the prophets will know that he's calling us. We won't just up and leave. Amen? Because mature people don't just up and leave. But immature fathers abandon their children. Amen? There's a spiritual aspect to everything we do. So the last one there, if you can, please put it up. The last graphic, is it the last one? Yes, it is the last one. Can you read that? No. Okay, on the left-hand side, must be born again. So that, I can't even read, where's my glasses? So that discipleship process there, friends, from a baby needs guidance. Number two, see the little child? Self-focused. Where are you on this line? Think about it. Where are you? Self-focused. Number three, kingdom-focused, but still alone. A kingdom-focused. Number four, disciple maker, you see, starting to multiply. Number five, making disciple makers. If we're going to speed up the coming of Jesus, friends, on this planet, we're going to have to be disciple makers. We cannot play church. We cannot just do church because we're Christians. We come on a Sunday and I have some nice coffee here every now and again, a free chow. We got to be disciple makers. Amen? We got to be disciple makers who make disciples and be obedient to the word of God. I'm telling you, he will blow the lid off our thinking. Expand whatever influence we have because we are taking him seriously and walking this road out as he's called us to walk. And if you read Paul's writings, he's always on about who we are as a church. We carry the power of God. We are jars of clay, gold. We have treasures and jars of clay. What is that treasure? The treasure is to make people rich. The treasure is to impact this world with the love and the glory of God. Amen. And break the mindset of clergy, laity. Well, you do the work, we just stand and stare. We've got to break that mindset and as all of us rise up. And so we want to, on the 20th of October, we want to show you some kind of plan, some kind of path. So please pray for us. Talking to Gareth Bailey, a friend of mine, you've met Gareth, who'll be on the 17th of November, about a discipleship path that we can put people on, even in this church. And so we're going to come out from needs guidance to babies all the way to making disciples. Amen? 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 And then you'll be able to understand, actually, where am I on this path? Am I self-focused? Am I still a baby? Am I making disciples? Am I not? Lord, how do I change this? And I'm glad you asked that question. Why don't we stand together? Matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus appointed us to make much fruit. Who's with me?